The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go, first to be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and I invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Have a seat. Come on up. Oh, come on up. Good morning. Good morning. They're still coming. Any more? Good morning, everybody. Good morning. So I have a question for you guys. Do you guys know what a rule is? Do you guys have rules at home? What do you guys have rules about?
No running.
Do you guys have rules about like cleaning up toys, maybe? Or rules about chores? No rules at all? I'll bet you that they're there. So sometimes we get rules, and sometimes the rules kind of guide us about what we can do and what we can't do, right? Does that sound like there's things we can do and those are the rules, right? So a bunch of the Bible stories this morning talk about rules, rules from God. Do you guys know what else we call a rule that God gives us? A commandment. Well done. So, do you guys know where we can find the commandments, the rules that God gives us? We can find them in the Bible. And here's a little thing also to help. This is called the Small Catechism, right? And you can see it's really not that big. It's very thin, right? It's not a big catechism, it's a small catechism. And in here, one of the things in here are the rules that God gives us. And do you know, so we call them the commandments. How many commandments are there? There are 10 commandments, right? And one of the things that we find here, and it comes to us from the Bible, and we put it here so you can find it easier and easier every time, right? We get these 10 commandments, these rules from God. And one, so we're talking about today, we talk about all the things that happen with the rules from God, and what can happen when we break the rules, and why God gives us the rules. But do you guys know what happens from God when we break the rules?
God gets sad.
God gets sad, and then you know what else God can do? He can forgive you. He can so we can, when we break the rules, we can ask God for forgiveness. And do you know how God can do that? Because He is more powerful. And He has the gift of grace for each one of you so that we can be forgiven. So would you guys pray with me this morning? Just repeat after me, okay? Dear God, thank you for forgiving us. Amen. All right, you guys can head back. Thanks for coming up. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder," and "Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. What does it take to hurt someone? Two people can scuffle out in the parking lot, grappling and trading blows, and perhaps their friends will break it up while they can still walk away with nothing but a couple of bruised egos. Or maybe one of these fighters gets in the lucky shot, breaking the orbital bone or crushing the eye socket or landing square on the temple that crumples the other in a heap in the dirt. That would hurt, wouldn't it? What if there was an argument? Insults flying, unspeakable names being called at the other person, voices growing louder and louder in hysterical tones. Could someone step in and silence those voices before the moment where one person dredges up the most painful thing from someone else's past and hurls it at them, cutting them to the core? That would hurt, wouldn't it? And what of these victors in the moments after? Surely there is a sense of satisfaction seeing your opponent collapsed to the ground, having been damaged in body or soul for having dared to confront you. And maybe, just maybe, It was you who pursued that conflict all along, looking for your moment to be shown as the righteous party in a long-standing disagreement. It feels good, doesn't it, to win, to show that you are better and they were wrong and you were right? And I think we know, at least somewhere in the back of our minds, that this is not how good Christians behave. We don't start fights. We don't call names. We don't go out seeking conflicts with those who we believe have wronged us. We are restrained. We are tempered by the law. We live within the rules. Perhaps we are not even too focused on getting even. Good for us, being able to live lives above the fray. But our friends know. Our friends know how to mention one name or talk about one certain day at one certain place. And when they do, they can see our blood boiling. They know how to get a rise out of us. And they know how to do this. Because even though we asked the question about what it feels like to win those fights, we have not yet asked the more important question, the question our Savior is concerned with for each of us. What does it take to move us into the place where we are so ready to do that damage? We know the laws. We learned the Ten Commandments when we were young. When Jesus is speaking here, he knows that those who are hearing him have been steeped in a culture revolving around those laws. And though we may not be living in a world so defined by those laws today, they have certainly been a part of our lives in the faith. So when he says that we know the laws, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not bear false witness, he knows that this is not the first time we have heard these things. And we want to say, we have not done these things. But his concern is for our souls. His concern is for our souls, not at the point where we cross the line and our overt actions are a clear breach of the law which shapes our lives, but for the souls of those fighters in all the moments that came before the violent outburst. Because all that violence, that harm that one human being can do to another, does not come from nothing. How many times have we seen that one person and thought to ourselves, man, I really hate that guy? Or perhaps it's a more subdued, boy, does that person get on my nerves. Sin does not only happen when we finally act out on our inward desire. Sin is the inward desire to act out, whether or not it ever becomes a reality. When we get angry enough to hurt someone, when we lust after someone in our minds, when we look at our neighbors and wish that we had what they have. This is where sin starts. This is when we stand opposed to God's law. And when we are confronted with the totality of God's law, we are only left to know that we are sinners. But it is the souls of us sinners which Jesus came to save. When sin has its hooks in our soul, it is an ongoing cycle. It moves us into a place where we are unable to experience the grace of God. And those momentary bits of pleasure we get from acting out on our desires become the new God in our lives, because we think it feels good. When sin has its hooks in us, we would be willing to spend every penny of our worth to keep on sinning so that we could have that next moment of pleasure. And without Christ, we will never get out. Because He is the one who cares for our souls, He points us to reconciliation. He points us to forgiveness. Not only that we may forgive those who have sinned against us, but to know that in Him, our sins are being forgiven. Through His grace and His work, He makes us righteous. These are the things for which we pray when we pray to Him each and every week, or maybe even each and every day. And these are the things He promises to deliver. In our worship here, we make a point of sharing the peace with one another before we leave. In many congregations, that peace is shared before the community comes to the Lord's table. That act, that simple exchange, peace be with you, and also with you, that simple motion of shaking a hand or sharing an embrace and speaking the word of peace to one another is a promise from God being delivered into each one of our lives. That moment is an act of reconciliation not only between members of the community, but between us and God. And we do it over and over again, because we know that forgiveness takes time. And each time we hear that word of peace from our neighbors, it is a word from Christ which is saying that His grace will keep coming into our lives. His mercy is so boundless that we cannot escape it. And in Him, it is His peace and not sin that takes a hold of our lives like that firm handshake, and He will not let go of you. When you leave this place today and you take that moment to share the peace with one another, know that what you are sharing and what is being shared with you in each exchange is a gift from God coming into your life through the face of each person we greet. Look around and see all the ways that God is telling you that He will not let sin control your lives. When you shake a hand and share the peace, know that in that moment, God is delivering His forgiveness to you. And then look around at how many more hands there are to shake, lest we forget that He will always be coming to us, reconciling us to Him and making us righteous in His sight. Amen.